Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick, joined by David Smith.
Yellow.
The Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action, and IFI and IFA's John Biver. This is part two of our election recap, election looking forward broadcast. And let's start out with some numbers that we gave in our last podcast.
Yes.
Turnout in the March primary, 1.92 million people voted. That's the highest for a gubernatorial primary since 2002. But Democrats were up 325,000 voters from 2010. Republicans were down 138,000 voters from 2014.
Ouch.
If you're a Republican, it sounds like we're in big trouble in November.
And we are. If you look at the top of the ticket, we have two Democrats running for governor. Both of them super rich dudes with lots of money to burn. And this is probably going to be the a barn burner as far as record books go. And they're both of them are pro-abortion candidates. So we don't have a dog in the fight, you might say, at the top of the ticket. But we need to come out and fight for the down-ballot races. We cannot afford to sit this one out or ignore it, because we need to put some good people across the line and add to the pro-life caucus down in Springfield, especially in the House. If we are able to add three or four new seats, if they're pickups for us, we can stop a lot of the garbage, the cultural Marxist agenda that is being pushed in Illinois, but only if we get some pickups. Otherwise, we're going to have a dismal 4 years.
Dave, I had the opportunity to interview State Representative Peter Breen, who is one of the lead counsel there for the Pro-Life Thomas More Society. And he was telling me...
Yeah, by the way, he's being targeted by Planned Parenthood out there in his district in Lombard as a Tier 1 race in November. So if you're in the western suburbs, you really need to get on board with Peter Breen. He is a great pro-life leader in the state of Illinois. Sorry about
that,
Monty.
But back to my point. He was telling me that, you know, with House Bill 40, the bill that Governor Rauner signed that forces taxpayers to fund abortions.
Yep.
We could attack that through the budget process. But a good way to do that is if we did have more pro-life lawmakers elected in Springfield. That's the way it's going to happen.
That's a wonderful point. That's a wonderful point, because the appropriations have to be approved every single year. And so one way to gut House Bill 40 and taxpayer funding of abortion is to not approve those funds. But that's going to take more good guys in Springfield.
Well, John, you look at the numbers in Illinois, you look at the math. Are there enough conservatives in this state to elect more conservatives? John, what do you think?
Not currently, but a lot of the people that would vote our way are just out of the picture. They're not participating. I think the pro-life and pro-family Republicans in the General Assembly need to be putting forth an aggressive message out there, so these people that think there's no hope for Illinois realize that there is hope for Illinois. Dave, you and Ralph Rivera and other folks talk about how close some of these votes are for some of these bad pieces of legislation. When our side is despairing, they don't go to the polls. But you know, you can look through the last 15, 16, 17 years of elections, and if our side would realize the potential, look at Bill Brady in 2010 coming within 30,000 votes of winning the governorship. So
That's
and,
right.
And there are race after that's, race that's after right. race like that. It's the dynamic of the individual race. You're right, Dave. We don't have a dog in the governor race, but we have so many down ballot that are critical. And if we were to get behind them, ignore absolutely. The governor's race, get behind them, the pro-family community in Illinois can start to actually exert the power that they actually have.
And Dave?
That's right. The Illinois, the legislative system is based off the federal system, which is checks and balances. So you got the House, the Senate, you've got the executive office, and you got the judiciary. Well, if we were able to make significant gains in the House, we would have the ability to check a lot of this stuff. And boy, oh boy, we need to be able to check some of it.
The next 4 years has to be all about building.
Yeah, absolutely.
And building. What do you mean by that, John?
Building, making sure our candidates and elected officials are using their bully pulpits and then doing whatever it takes at the local level to activate people to get engaged. Again, the country in the late 70s was in bad shape, and then Reagan came along. And it's the same thing that can happen in the next 4 years if we are building.
You know, John, that's so key. I want to build off of what you just said, pun intended. I believe, like, for example, Jeannie Ives lost because people were misinformed, all right?
Yes,
and of course,
absolutely.
Of course, they were deceptively led astray, right? By Bruce Rauner, but they were misinformed. There was a non-binding referendum question on the Cook County ballot. Should Illinois legalize recreational marijuana in the state? 68% of the voters in Cook County voted for that. That's devastating. But again, they are misled. If we were able to get the education and build on education and truth and the consequences of what this policy would do, those numbers would plummet, just as if we were able to educate and get the truth out about Jeannie Ives, her numbers would have gone up faster than they did. And they were closing, by the way. We were getting there, but it not in time. So we have yeoman's work to do. A lot of these votes are being done in emotional state of mind instead of an intellectual, thoughtful, deep process of thinking through the issues. And, you know, it sounds fine, you know, marijuana, recreational marijuana. Oh, that's not a big deal. Yeah. Until you start hearing about the hospitalizations, the car accidents, the suicides, the overdoses, you know, and then you're like, you step back and you say, whoa, wait a minute.
Dave, a lot of this is esoteric, but you told me recently about what happened in Arizona.
Yeah, right. So Arizona was actually able to stop the push to legalize recreational marijuana. They were able to partner with their Chamber of Commerce out there, the businessmen and businesswomen of the state, because they didn't want to have to go through what a lot of other states are going through, like Colorado and Washington right now. They can't find good job candidates because they're all failing their drug tests, or a high percentage of them are failing their drug tests. I know somebody
in Arizona was able to do that.
Yes,
through a strong educational campaign.
Educational campaign, but you know that was supported by the business community. Unfortunately, here in Illinois, we haven't been able to get the Chamber of Commerce and the business community on board with us because they're in the pockets of the Democrats. And of course, they don't want to alienate the Democrats because, well, they need their jobs, you know.
Well, when it comes to these legislative races, you have to keep in mind that a handful of votes could swing an election in some of these legislative races.
Yes.
So it's really important that people get out there and vote for the right people.
Absolutely. We saw it with the Dan Lipinski versus Marie Newman race in the 3rd Congressional District. When people come out and vote, you know, it could be just a couple thousand votes. I mean, even Jeannie Ives fell short about 19,000 votes. If she was able to switch 9,000, you know, 9,500 of those votes over, you know, she would have been the candidate at the top. But
Dave and John, we've talked about the negative ads that came out against Jeannie Ives and her gubernatorial campaign. But you can bet that the left is going to be coming after the conservative legislative candidates big time. And you already mentioned Peter Breen, for instance. There, he's being targeted. How do we counter that?
By exposing the truth. You know, I think the left overreaches far too often. They want to make a big deal and complain about the Jeannie Ives ad where we had a transgender and a pink hat woman, one of those nasty women, portrayed in that ad. You know what? That is going to resonate with a lot of middle, center-right voters. And that's what, you know, Peter Breen is going to have to do, get the people from the center over to the right to come out and vote for him. And any conservative Republican candidate needs to get that coalition going. If they really believe that transgenderism plays, they haven't been looking at the polls I've been looking at. Nobody wants to have a transgender person in their daughter's locker room or bathroom. So that issue resonates. The nobody in Illinois, or I should say 60% plus, don't want to have their tax dollars being used to kill unborn babies, right? So these issues need to, you know what? A lot of these rhinos want to run away from these issues. But I believe that if you tackle those issues head on in a winsome way, and of course, I'm not saying I'm doing that. I'm not giving an example of how you do that. But, you know, you can take on these issues and push back and resonate with the folks at home, because these things don't, I mean, these are common sense issues at home for most people. They're not buying into this leftist agenda.
Well, and another thing, the majority of voters don't want Illinois' parental notification law repealed.
And that's right.
That's the next thing on the agenda for the left.
It quite possibly can be. You know, my understanding is that Planned Parenthood and their friends at NARAL want to water down the parental notification and add in a clergy. So you'd have to, you know,
and Planned Parenthood, by the way, has their own clergy. You know that.
Yeah, they're called the high priest of Baal. But
oh my.
So you know, seriously, I mean, you think that through. You've got your parents, you got your grandparents, you've got your legal guardians, and then they're going to add in clergy. Well, it's not the local Baptist pastor or the Catholic priest. They're talking about their own paid chaplains, right?
Yep. Well, we need to take a time out, and we'll continue our election discussion after this on this edition of Illinois Family Spotlight.
This is Albert Mohler for Townhall.com. One of the most well-documented, irrefutable trends of our times is the continued secularization of Western societies. A new study has come out about young people in Europe, indicating that the future may be even more secular than we knew. Commenting on the report, Stephen Bullivant of St. Mary's University in London said, quote, "With some notable exceptions, young adults increasingly are not identifying with or practicing religion. Christianity as a default, as a norm, is gone, and probably gone for good, or at least for the next 100 years." End quote. In the United States, we are ourselves looking at a speeded-up velocity of this secularization due to the political and moral change in the coming generations of the millennials and those identified now as Generation Z. I'm Albert Mohler.
Have you ever noticed how many churches sit empty throughout the week? Well, Freedom Project Academy wants to change that, and it's a simple concept. Partner with churches across the country to provide fully accredited, biblically based online classes that allow every church that sits empty Monday through Friday to start their own school. Let's fill up our churches all week long. Visit Freedom Project Academy, because together we can faithfully educate America.
Thanks once again for joining us here on the Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Lurk, joined by Dave Smith and John Biver, my two colleagues here at IFI. Let's just touch on the gubernatorial election in November briefly.
Yes.
As you know, A lot of conservatives are saying they're going to sit out the governor's race.
Right.
But others would suggest that, yeah, we have to hold our nose and vote for Bruce Rauner because of the state remap. Wouldn't it be better to have a Republican leading that effort than a Democrat?
It would be nice to have a Republican, but we don't have a Republican. That's the problem. He's a Democrat, and he's a liar, and he's a cheater. I wouldn't trust him with my dog. I'm sorry. He doesn't get my trust, and I don't think we can trust him with the remap. He'll cave in for something insignificant or for his own political hide. That's my opinion.
Now tell us what you really think, Dave. Well, you know, one faith leader I heard on Facebook say that, yes, Illinois does have a math problem. It's not simply about finances, but it simply doesn't have enough conservatives to elect fellow conservatives. If that's true, how do we change that?
Well, we talked about it in the first segment. It's about educating. It's about informing people and communicating. We have, John, you can talk to this best because I've heard you get passionate about it. We have all this great information. It's just not getting out to enough people. I mean, we should be reaching, you know, 3, 4, 5 times the amount of people that we're reaching right now with our information, informing minds and changing hearts. The information that we have is compelling. We can't do it because we don't have the bandwidth. We just don't have
exactly.
The finances.
Exactly. And put aside for the moment all the negative things about Donald Trump. What he did was he connected with the people we need to connect with in Illinois. He did it in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in Iowa, in Ohio. Those same types of people live in Illinois. And if we are able to connect with them on the bread and butter issues, on the common sense issues like you talked about, Dave, we can turn Illinois red again. It's just a matter of discipline, leadership, and of course, as you unfortunately alluded to, it's one of the ugly realities of politics. We need money to
That's
do
right.
it.
And we need to get the downstaters more involved and a greater
yes.
percentage of them
yes.
coming out to vote to counteract the Chicago effect.
You know, a great mission right there. If we could just inspire them to come out against Chicago.
Yeah, reject Chicago, reject it. But you know what? I'm talking about the leadership, not the people, because I think there's another aspect there. We could be reaching out to the African-American community, the Hispanic community on these social issues. This is low-hanging
yes.
fruit. This is something that we've said for a long time. I think these things resonate. Are you kidding me? Transgender birth certificates, do you really think that plays in parts of Chicago? I mean, on the west side and the south side? No, it doesn't. Taxpayer funding of abortion, does that play on the south side and the west side?
Exactly.
Are you kidding me?
In the Hispanic
yeah.
community.
So yeah. I mean, seriously, I mean, if we had the resources and the bandwidth, to do this, I think we could make some serious inroads. But, you know, in Chicago, how many Republicans are running for state offices, for aldermen, for county chairman, or township chairman? You know, not very many. And you don't
not
show
enough.
Up, you don't win. So
when I get the time in the next right. couple of weeks, I'm going to put just a list of all these headlines about the reality of Illinois' economic situation. And it's very dire.
Yeah.
And more people that learn about this, they're going to say, you know what? It's time to act.
But, you know, we can't get discouraged and despondent. That's the worst thing we can do. Yes,
yes.
It's dire. It doesn't look good. Yes, it's an uphill battle. But you know what? Let's step up. What are we here for? I mean, seriously, as Christians, are you just here to get along, you know, on beds of flowery ease, as a hymn says? No, let's step up and fight the good fight. And not necessarily for the Republican Party, not necessarily because you want to feel good about a political win, but because of your neighbors. As Christians, we're called to love our neighbors as ourselves. Well, a lot of our neighbors are being taken by Satan's lies, and they're in a sad situation, and they're, you know, anyway, does that make sense?
We are living in a bankrupt state.
That's right.
But we have some reason for optimism. We have on the ballot several very good candidates for the legislature. Yes. Dave, give us a rundown.
All right. Well, Illinois Family Action endorsed a number of candidates in the primary, and 10 of those candidates crossed the finish line in good shape and now are going to be running in the Republican as the Republican nominee in the general assembly in the general election come November. And I want to start with the only state Senate race that we got involved in was down in Edwardsville area of the Metro East St. Louis area of Illinois. And there were four candidates running, but we got behind Jason Plummer. You may remember that name. He ran as Bill Brady's lieutenant governor candidate back in 2010. He was also a county chairman, Republican county chairman down in the Metro East St. Louis area. And he had significant name ID already, and he won his race with 57% of the vote, which is pretty doggone good when you consider there were four candidates in that race. So he will be probably facing a slated Democrat, because there was no Democrat that ran in the primary, but I seriously doubt if they will let him go unchallenged, and he'll probably get a challenge, but that district really goes Republican. So Jason Plummer is going to be picking up the seat that was left by Kyle McCarter, who, by the way, just got nominated to be the ambassador for Kenya. And so he was already term limiting himself. He said, I'm only going to serve two terms. So he wasn't running in the first place. So Jason Plummer will be filling that seat. And Kyle McCarter was a huge hero for us in Springfield. And I'm sure that Jason will be, too. I'm hoping he will be as bold as Kyle was. Now, coming up to the western suburbs of Chicago, in the Wheaton area, Jeannie Ives' seat was, available, and three Republican candidates ran for that. We got behind a woman named Amy Grant, and Amy Grant, not the singer, not the contemporary music singer, Christian singer, but she was a county board member, and she won her race with 66% of the vote. And so that was excellent, because the second closest competitor was Bert Miner, and again, another county board member, but a guy who really didn't help our cause in the Republican Party, because he voted to redefine marriage in our platform. And so I'm glad to see that he didn't make it. He's kind of a weak-kneed Republican, and Amy Grant was by far head and shoulders above the rest. So then moving down over, still staying in the western suburbs, in Villa Park, we have Dr. Jay Kinsler. Not only is he a surgeon, but he is a colonel in the Army Reserve. And so he ran a few years ago against Peter Roskam for Congress, and gave Peter Roskam a push to the right, I hope. He didn't win that primary, but he has won his primary for the Illinois State House over a guy named Roger Orozco. And so Dr. Jay Kinsler will be taking on an incumbent Democrat named Deb Conroy. And, of course, Deb Conroy has been a consistent vote for Madigan's agenda throughout her term in Springfield. We believe that this is a winnable seat. So this is one of those seats we need volunteers and funding for. This is one of those seats we need to focus on and get Dr. Jay Kinsler, a wonderful Christian man, over the line, pro-life, pro-family voter, to beat one of Michael Madigan's cultural Marxist. So that, please keep your eye on that seat in the Villa Park area. Now, going back out even further west, West Chicago area, Aurora area, there was a seat by Mike Fortner, who retired after voting for the tax increase, decided I'm not going to challenge or fight the challenge coming. And there's a woman named Tonya Curry who ran for Congress a few years ago against Bill Foster. She's got lots of name ID, solid Christian woman, solid pro-life, pro-family person. She won her her race by 65%, almost 66%, and will be taking on the Democrat in that spot. But this, again, this is not a pickup. This would be just a replacement of a Republican. Now, moving up to Lake County area, State Representative District number 62, the incumbent there is a gentleman named Sam Yinglin. He is an open homosexual activist who supports many of the LGBT and the pro-death agenda. And he has been challenged over the last few election cycles by Republicans who have fallen just short of unseating him. There's a gentleman by the name of Ken Eidstein who won his primary by 62%. He was endorsed by Illinois Family Action, and we're hoping that this is one of those pickups. Again, out in the Villa Park area, now here in Round Lake Beach of Lake County, this is one of those places we need to pick up a win and replace a Democrat or Madigan pro-choice, pro-abortion Democrat with a pro-life, pro-family conservative.
Well, think about that, Dave. What would happen in Illinois if we were able to elect all these candidates you just mentioned?
Right. No, and I've got more to go. So let me just talk about one more incumbent that needs to be unseated, and then I can go through the other ones who would be just replacements of conservative votes. But down again, back down to the Metro East St. Louis area in Collinsville area of the state. The incumbent is named Katie Stewart. She defeated longtime state representative Dwight Kay, who was a great pro-life, pro-family Christian man in the 2016 election. And Dwight Kay is coming back. He ran in the primary. Now, this is interesting. I have to tell listeners about this. So the House Republican Organization, HRO, put up their own candidate by the name of Wendy Earhart, and were getting behind her. They didn't get behind their former colleague, who was defeated, Dwight Kay, but they went and picked a different candidate. Well, Dwight Kay won his seat back, or the Republican nomination, with 58% of the vote. So a really decisive victory in the Republican primary in that area, which is great. He is not a yes man, and that's probably why they didn't want him back. He is an independent thinker, strong conservative, an unapologetic Christian. You'd have to go back to the 2013 debate on marriage redefinition. And he was very, very eloquent on the House floor speaking against it and speaking for Christian, Judeo-Christian values when he ran. So there's a huge opportunity for a pickup. Katie Stewart has been, one of those Madigan dependable votes in the state legislature. That is not going to play well in that area of the state. Transgender birth certificates, taxpayer funding of abortion, sanctuary state. Are you kidding me? Here's the big but, right? If conservatives don't come out to vote, yeah, we're going to lose all these seats. So, we have opportunities right there. I just talked about three awesome opportunities to pick up seats. We can pick them up, and we should pick them up.
John, let me ask you, wouldn't the primary victories of these candidates that Dave mentioned tell the GOP leadership, hey, it's time to become more conservative?
No, I don't think it would, but it's difficult to convey to our listeners the possibilities in Illinois, all those races Dave just talked about. If we were to win them, we are in so much stronger of a place to influence what passes and what doesn't pass. And when you read the media headlines, it looks like this is a dark blue state. It is not. We can start.
Thank you.
We can start to turn the tide. If, again, like I said earlier, if Michigan and Pennsylvania can go red yes. in a presidential year, we can pick up legislative seats.
And we need to. And I agree. I was going to ask that earlier, John. You don't believe this is a blue state, do you? I mean, outside of Chicago, not really.
No. What we have is a moribund, ineffective, feckless Republican Party. And people, if they don't hear a message, they can't vote for it.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, there's a couple elections you didn't mention.
Yes.
It's a couple races. And one is the Erica Harold race. She's running for attorney general. We supported or recommended her opponent
yes.
in the primary.
Yes.
And Erica Harold is kind of a unique case. What do we do about her? She apparently has decided to jump in with the LGBTQ agenda. But on the other hand, she may be pro-life still.
That's right.
And we know that her Democratic opponent will be pro-abortion.
That's right.
What do we do about that race?
Well, to say that I was disappointed with Erica's lack of response to the pro-life, pro-family community, and when we sent them, when we sent her campaign questionnaires, and other things that happened, she took $305,000 of Ronner's money to run alongside him as you know partners, and so I'm really disappointed with her. But at the same time, she is a pro-lifer, and I am willing to hold my nose and vote for her over the Democratic, clearly pro-abortion winner.
Kwame Raoul.
That's right. And he's got a record in Springfield. It would be nice if she filled out our survey and then we were able to juxtapose both of their records and their responses, and Kwame's record in Springfield, so voters can get a clear picture of their differences. And I'm sure there are quite a few differences. Okay, so it's maybe not as conservative as I want her to be, but you know, the fact that she's pro-life is sufficient for me to hold my nose and vote for her. But
well,
what about you, John?
Okay, I'm sorry, John.
Go ahead. I don't think she's a fighter, so she's not going to win in the fall.
Yeah.
You really think that? Okay. Let's go back to an election, and there was some controversy among the pro-life community about whether to support Dan Lipinski's re-election, his primary bid in the for Congress.
Yeah.
You know, he was opposed by a very pro-abortion Democrat.
Yes.
I would say a Marxist.
Bernie Sanders supporter who liked wearing pink hats and probably described herself as a nasty woman.
Yeah. But the controversy was that if you're taking votes away from
yes.
Jeannie Ives.
Yeah, so let me explain that, Monty.
If you crossed over to vote for Dan Lipinski.
That's right. That's exactly right. So we actually, in our office, we're getting calls from people in the 3rd Congressional District who are on our list saying, holy smoke, I've got this letter from a pro-life group saying I should vote in the Democratic primary to help save Dan Lipinski, one of the only pro-life Democrats in Congress. And that he's in the fight for his life, you know, in this primary. And I was shocked and astounded that they would do that. And especially seeing that Jeannie Ives only fell about 19,000 votes short of beating Bruce Ronner. You know, every single one of those votes in the 3rd Congressional District, I have no idea how many were taken away from and how many people crossed over to vote in the Democratic primary. But I think it's incredibly short-sighted on the part of some of these pro-life leaders to go and fight for one vote out of 435 in Congress and turn their back on a potential gubernatorial candidate who would have administrative powers that we would love to be able to implement and use to save lives. For example, and I know this for a fact, I know that a Governor Jeannie Ives would have directed the Illinois Department of Public Health to start inspecting abortion clinics. Once that start, which they don't get now, by the way, All right. So once those inspections start, we know they close down. The Rockford Clinic has been closed down for years now because of one inspection. And I think that was a fire inspection. And there were so many violations, they closed it down. The owner of that abortion clinic decided not to reopen. So Rockford has been free of an abortion clinic now for a few years. And so that strategy could have saved. By the way, the governor appoints all kinds of other heads, like the Human Rights Commission, right? And other, the Board of Education, all these places. And so I really, really think it is short-sighted on the part of pro-lifers to go and fight for this Democrat to save one little toehold of the pro-life presence in the Democratic Party when we have the opportunity to purge the Republican Party of a radical pro-abort who sent $50,000 of his own money to Planned Parenthood in 2017.
John, what do you think?
I agree. It's kind of a shame that it has to be so close, but the Democratic Party is changing.
Well, I would say that both parties are getting a little bit more pure and out on the fringes. And in our case, I support moving us to the right. The Democrats are going out there to the Bernie Sanders left,
yep,
and the George Soros left. And so I'm very comfortable trying to fight them out there on the left and try to win the day.
Dave, before we wrap things up, let's talk about a couple of big events that IFI is getting behind.
Absolutely. So we have on May 5th, Saturday, May 5th, we have rescheduled our Worldview Conference with John Stone Street. John Stone Street is the president of the Chuck Colson Center for Worldview. Now, we had to reschedule this. It was originally scheduled for February 10th, but we had a nice snowstorm that closed us down.
Because of climate change.
Climate change, that's right. So who knows if we'll have any snow on May 5th? It's highly doubtful. But on May 5th in Medina, go to our website, illinoisfamily.org, and find it on our events page. We'd love to have you here. We've been talking about what it takes to flip the state back red and to elect more people. Well, it starts with a worldview. The worldview is what it needs to be sharpened. We need to get back to our Christian worldview, a biblical worldview, and start fighting that. Too many Christians in the pews don't understand what they believe and why they believe it. So,
and we really want to see a lot of young people there, don't we? They need to hear this message.
Yes. Absolutely, but we also want moms and dads and grandparents there because they need to turn around and impress the truth upon the hearts of their kids and their grandkids. They need to do that. It's part of our calling as Christians. And then secondly, we have just, this is going to be a new announcement right now. We our banquet speaker for October 5, so we're sticking with the 5th, right? So we got May 5th, Worldview. October 5 is our annual banquet, and this year we have George Barna, who's going to come in and speak, and Jeannie Ives is also going to be a special guest, giving a little bit of a report on Illinois' math problem to attendees. So that information will be on our website as well. Go to illinoisfamily.org and click the events tab.
All right, there you go. And if folks want to help out the Illinois Family Action, what should they do?
Okay, visit our website at IFI Action and click the donate button. And we can use your funds. We were talking about our bandwidth. If we had bigger bandwidth and stronger bandwidth, we could reach more people with the truth and with the issues of the day and helping them think through the cultural revolution, really, that we're going through right now. And also spread the news about this podcast and about our email alerts and our action alerts. Right. So that's it.
All righty. There you go. And thank you so much, John Biver and Dave Smith, for your comments. And thank you, folks, for listening. Be sure to tune in to the next podcast coming up, Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at IFIAction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@IFIAction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.